Good afternoon and welcome to KXCV KRNW's National Football Signing Day broadcast. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Gorder, and we'll be joined by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, here in just a moment as we'll go over the list of the recruits that will be coming in to play football at Northwest Missouri State University. And Matt Gorder, as we take a look at this list, again, a great representation of athletes that will be coming in at Northwest Missouri State with 47 total signees coming into this program.
Yeah, that's right. 40 of those high school athletes, which is not a big surprise. Northwest, traditionally, the last several years has leaned more toward the high school student. There are seven transfers that are a part of this class, but the 40 number and 47 total when you include the transfers is one of those things that I think might take people aback a little bit. You know, typically we see recruiting classes around the 28 to 32 mark, maybe reaching as high as 35, but you know, there were some holes that Northwest had to fill. I think they did a good job with this class, just looking over generically what they've got so far, filling those holes. Every position pretty much is represented. A lot of offensive linemen on this list. But one thing I think that's neat, you know, we have talked a lot about, seeing Florida kids come in and things like that. And while Florida's not absent from the list this year, really recruiting heavily in the region, in the area, I guess you could say within an arm's reach of campus. And that's neat to see because it gives families of those athletes opportunities to travel in and be able to, you know, see them play, and that just means more people in Bearcat Stadium, which is always awesome.
Yeah, and again, if you look at the list here, a good contingent of players coming in from the Kansas City area to go along with some of the in the nearby region area.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of good athletes in Kansas City, a lot of good football players, a lot of good athletes just in general. So that's definitely an area that you want to look at, and, you know, to be successful there is tough. There's a lot of MIAA schools that really look to the Kansas City area to try to be successful. So being successful in Kansas City is a big deal for sure.
And joining us, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Rich Wright, fresh from the Super Bowl back here with us here today. So good to have you back, Rich.
Boy, it was a whirlwind, but it was a great experience down at the Super Bowl. Exciting everything except for the game. Everything leading up to was pretty cool. The game was, if you're a defensive guy, I think it had some good moments, but most of my offensive friends weren't real fired up about it.
Talk about the feeling of seeing, and I know you have before, seeing a former player obviously participate in the Super Bowl, but what does that mean to you personally just to see him down on the field?
First of all, to just be invited is humbling. You know, it's it was, Matt and I have had a really great relationship now for almost a decade, and watching it, I can remember when he came on his official visit to Northwest Missouri State, and you know, so to be there and to see him in that environment and playing in the pinnacle of our sport is a pretty neat experience.
Yeah, no, talking with Matt, that he really credits you for a lot of the success he's had in the NFL level by kind of imparting to him what he's going to need to know and how to train to get to that next level.
Oh, that's really nice of him to say, but most of it had to do with Matt. And his, Matt has a tremendous work ethic. He always did. The thing that he did here that really kind of separated him from a lot of players that I've had is that it didn't matter whether it was a game or it was practice. He was going to show up and he was going to get better. And the way he attacked that is really why I think he's lasted as long as he has in the NFL. If you watch him on TV, he's absolutely relentless every single play chasing after the ball. He knows he's not going to do it with his sheer athleticism, so he has to make up for it with his motor. And being a wrestler, being a multi-sport athlete is something I think really helped Matt, because he always understood leverage, he understood how to play with his hands, and just had that toughness and tenacity about him.
When you get a chance to go out, as we talk about recruits and signees here today, I know it's not a big part of what you guys do, but how much do you use saying, hey, we've had several guys that have had opportunities in the NFL, a few guys that have had extended success in the NFL. Is that one of the tools you guys can use?
It is something we talk about, but, you know, really what our focus is and our message is always on, you know, getting your degree and taking care of your academics, and that football is going to be a part of your experience while you're here. And if those opportunities exist at the end of your career that we've had, you know, every team, all 32 teams are going to be on our campus. All 32 teams are going to take a look at our kids, and they're going to have the opportunity to do some of those things. But, you know, what we want to do is we want to create a foundation that we can stand on for the rest of our life.
Before we break down each individual player that signed national letters of intent to play at Northwest Missouri State, let's just talk about this list overall and the goal that you had going into this year's recruiting season.
Sure. I mean, first, I want to thank our coaches, our graduate assistants, you know, Joe Quinlan, Liz, Lori Hopkins, Ashley Strickland over in the TDC. You know, those people gave up a lot of their time, you know, over the last month to help us put together the class that we did. But, you know, our focus was to try and get length, and I think we accomplished that. It was to take care of our own backyard for the second year in a row, which I think we addressed. It was to really try and hammer kids that were from successful programs. And then it was to target specific needs that we felt like we had, that we had to upgrade, and felt like we hit on all those fronts.
Bringing in 47 new athletes feels like a big number.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know we usually see you guys hover right around the 30 range, mm-hmm. give or take. But maybe just address that number. Why such a big number this year?
It's really no different than normal. What it is it's we have both the combination of scholarship guys and walk-on guys. And we recruit our walk-ons. Our walk-ons come to official visits. It's not done later in the spring. So, you know, they're a part of this class. And when we talk about them at the Division II level, they're no different than our scholarship athletes. And so when we release our list to the media, every one of our players is released to the media. And that's kind of why the number.
Well, let's start talking about the signees for this year and start at the top here, going alphabetically with Jalen Bass, a 6'1", 170-pound defensive back out of Jacksonville, Florida.
Jalen's a real athletic kid. Played, was heavily involved in basketball down in Florida. Only played football for two seasons, so didn't have the type of tape I think that most people would anticipate after his sophomore year. Comes from a good program down there, good Catholic League program down there. Was a kid that that we identified off of senior tape. Has good length, good ball skills, very athletic. He was actually my first stop on the way down to the Super Bowl. I flew into Jacksonville to see Jalen and had dinner with he and his family. And he's a guy that we're expecting big things from.
When you also look in the secondary, a kid out of Olathe, Kansas, Brendan Molden, one thing that sticks out here is a defensive back, 6'3", 195 pounds. You don't see a lot of DBs with that kind of length.
Yeah, so you're going to start to go through our list in the secondary and with the defensive line, and you've seen 6'1 at the first slot, 6'3 with the second slot. Again, this is a kid that's, you know, he's an all-state kid. He's got good athleticism. He's got great ball skills. He's a multi-sport athlete. You know, he's a kid that we were excited about, again, from a senior perspective. And that's where we can gain a benefit sometimes is being able to hold that off a little bit longer and see senior film where other guys, you know, are, you know, at the Division I level are offering those juniors.
Up next to Will Boswell, a 6'1", 205-pound linebacker out of Mount Vernon, Missouri. And when you look at some of the statistics that you pass along with him, one thing that really stands out, a defensive player of the year at the Class 3 level for 2 years in a row, 2017 and 18.
Yeah, if you're walking down the street, have your head on a swivel when he gets to campus because he's liable to hit you. He has a state record for tackles, you know, small-town kid. You know, I like this kid. He just everything he does is with a great motor. Really enjoyed having him and his family up on campus from Shane Williams's high school, and great program and good tradition. I know Coach Webb has a lot of good things to say about the Mount Vernon program, and this kid's going to be a good one.
Next up, another linebacker out of Trimble, Missouri, went to Smithville High School. Brian Boyd, 6'2", 205-pound linebacker. Looks like another one of those good multi-sport athletes, especially coming out of a wrestling program.
Yeah, brother's a wrestler at Oklahoma, I believe, and Brian is one of the best wrestlers in the Midwest. You know, he's an elite wrestler, picked to win the state again this year. Really tough kid. Enjoyed watching him play. He was a kid that we had. Smithville came to summer camp this year, and it was big for us as a staff to get to watch him play. Like his length, he's going to get big. He's one of those guys that's losing a little weight to wrestle. He's going to be a big, long kid, and so we're excited about what he can do.
Peyton Carter, a 6'2", 185-pound wide receiver. He's out of Shawnee, Kansas, Shawnee Mission Northwest, and again, one of several players you've got coming in out of the Kansas City area.
Yeah, you know, and tried to attack both sides of the border. I felt like one thing that the way that the junior colleges are operating in Kansas right now and not having to take X amount of Kansas kids has really helped our recruiting on over on that in the state of Kansas now. And so Peyton's one of those guys. He was very productive, got hurt his junior year, in seven games had 700 yards receiving, you know, but did have an injury. He's a kid that is longer again, looking for some more length at the receiver position, and feel like this kid's got some good upside for us.
Looking now on the offensive line, a kid from Island Lake, Illinois, Christopher Carlson, 6'4", 275. And it's interesting here. You see that he's a power lifter, so you wonder how him and Joe Quinlan are going to get along.
So you want interesting. I'll give you all kinds of interesting. This kid's got two squat racks in his basement. Okay.
Wow.
So he is a kid that likes to lift and be in the weight room. Mom and dad own a hot dog stand, which I can't wait to go to. So later in the spring, I'm going to have to go check that out. But he's just our kind of kid. He came on campus. We all really liked him. He was a good fit. He's athletic. He's physical. He plays with a little bit of an edge, which I feel like we need on our offensive line. And I think he's going to fit in real well here.
Speaking of his mom and dad, they're probably going to be real popular on tailgate days, don't you?
Absolutely.
Deontay Carroll, a 6'2", 190-pound defensive back out of Lenexa, Kansas, and now Shawnee Mission East again on the Kansas side of the border down there. And again, you look at this 6'2 guy, that's got to be a big help for you.
Another 6'2 corner. I mean, we really tried to go out and find length, try and find athleticism, and this kid fit the bill. He was a kid that played receiver more for, you know, this senior season. We saw him in camp, though, as a defensive back, and really liked his skill set and thought he did some great things, and that's what allowed us to pull the trigger. He was actually one of our early offer kids.
Now, back on the offensive line, I know Northwest is all about family. This next guy, Keegan Clark, a 6 foot, 270-pound offensive lineman out of Omaha. True family. Relation to Chad Bostwick.
Absolutely. You know, another one of those Bostwicks, you know, that we've had on a long, illustrious run down here. Keegan is a kid that's grown up around our football program. He has great family. They're all very involved in what we do. But, you know, let's talk about Keegan on his own merits. You know, you play for Larry Martin at Omaha North, you're a tough kid. They're going to run the football. And he's physical. He's aggressive. He's got great tenacity. And we're excited about getting him on campus.
Grant Cooney's a 6'6 player, 240 pounds. He's out of the Topeka area in Tecumseh, Kansas. Just tell us a little bit about Grant Cooney.
Great basketball player, multi-sport athlete. He was a kid that when Joel came back, he said, Coach, you're going to like the way this kid looks. First thing I did is I told my guys when they went out on the road, don't bring me back any short defensive linemen, and they sure didn't. You know, this kid's really long, and he's got a great frame. We're just going to have to fill it out. He's, you know, Coach watched him play basketball. He said he's got great athleticism on a basketball floor. Now it's just going to be a matter of starting to fill him out and get the process going there. He plays with a little edge, which I enjoyed watching on film. His sister is a D1 volleyball player at the University of Illinois. She played in the Final Four last year, so good athletic family.
Next up, another offensive lineman, this one out of Lebanon, Missouri, Malik Culp. 6 foot 3 inch, 270-pound offensive lineman. Now, he looks well decorated, but again, what sticks out is another offensive lineman that enjoys being in the weight room.
Yeah, and he likes smashing people, which I like. He plays in an offense where they run the triple option. You know, Malik, Lebanon was at camp. Malik wasn't at camp. He was at the University of Wyoming on one of their tryout days. And so we didn't see him live, but when I watched him on film, I was convinced he was our kind of kid. Came on an early visit. We offered him, and he accepted right away. And, you know, we're just excited. The kid, the thing that you keep hearing down in Lebanon with his coaches is just his work ethic is amazing and just the type of character kid he is. And he plays with mean, and I want that on the offensive line.
Up next, a player a lot of people in the region know about, coming from a pretty successful program just across town there. Not bad at all. Maryville Spoofound and Eli Dallas, a 6'2", 180-pound wide receiver.
You know, and maybe because he's just in the backyard, everybody kind of – Eli's a great football player. He's a great athlete, period. I went and watched him play basketball the other night, and, boy, I wish I had ups like that when I was playing or doing anything. He's just so smooth about everything he does. He can do – you know, the thing that's intriguing to me about Eli is his frame. He's bigger than I think what people realize when you get up and see him face-to-face. And, you know, he's got a physicality to him that not a lot of receivers have. And so I think we can do a lot of stuff with Eli. His, you know, as you guys watched firsthand, you know, whether it was needing him to play quarterback, needing him in the backfield, there was a guy, and I hate doing this to a kid, but I'm going to because it's who he reminds me of. There was a guy who the last name is Soy around here that was a pretty good football player that was a running back in high school because I recruited him. Eli has a lot of that same skill set, and so we're excited about him.
Looking into Olathe, Kansas again with our next player, Olathe Northwest High School. Linebacker, 6 foot, 217 pound, Andrew Dumas.
Great family, great kid, tough, physical, can run. That was the thing that stuck out for me more than anything else when Coach Boswick and I sat down and watched tape on this kid. Great personality, big smile. He's going to fit right in here. He could play multiple positions at linebacker for us just with his athleticism. So we're excited about him.
Look at the other end of the state, Cole Elwood, 6 foot, 175-pound defensive back from Fenton, Missouri, and Fox Senior High School. And one thing that stands out there, too, that a lot of these kids, when you look down the totals that you give us here, 4.0 grade point average. Not only do they excel on the field, but also in the classroom.
Yeah, you know, that's not lip service for us. We're looking for people that like to compete in all venues. And so one of the big things we look for is, do they play multiple sports and are they competitive in those multiple sports? Are they competitive in the classroom? What are they doing there? I want to know that they can compete in another arena other than football. It lends to their intrinsic drive. And so, you know, Cole's a first-team All-State kid, 2 year starter on a basketball team, 2 year starter on a football team, physical. He's going to be more of a safety type. You know, most of the other guys we've talked about to this point are more of the corner. This kid's a true safety, and he will hit you. So we're looking forward to getting him with us.
Another player out of Smithville High School, Jake Fisher, 6'5", 220-pound defensive end. Looks like he was fairly well decorated in high school at the defensive line.
Jake's explosive. The first thing that I noticed about Jake, because I had him in camp, was his first two steps. He gets off the ball in a hurry. He can run an edge. He's super competitive. He was here when they were playing in camp and playing up against bigger high schools, and he was in it to win it. You know, we had Park Hill here with those guys, and he was battling with those Division I defensive linemen that they had when he was blocking them as a tight end. And I was impressed by that. And I like his grind. He's another kid that's going to take a little bit of time at 220. You know, he's playing basketball right now, having a good season. He's going to have to grow, but he has the frame to do it.
Looking back on the Kansas side of the Missouri-Kansas border in the Kansas City area, Ben Freeman's a 6'3", 241-pound offensive lineman out of Blue Valley West.
You know, this is a kid that's a frame kid. He hasn't even started to figure out, you know, where he's going to be as far as filling out is concerned. So a project type kid, but a kid that we think that has good talent and good skill set nonetheless from a great program. You know, he's a guy that's going to need a year in the weight room. But you know, his comes highly recommended by his coaches and the people down there, and you know, just was a good fit for us when he came onto campus.
Next up, a kid out of Liberty High School, and I know there's a great relationship between the Liberty School District and Northwest Missouri State.
But Coach Fregon and I have lunch frequently. So,
but Nathan Gray, a linebacker for Coach, 6 foot, 185 pounder.
Yeah, Nathan was, you know, we weren't really sure initially what we wanted to do with Nathan because he's kind of a tweener, played some safety for them. We see him more as that outside linebacker type of guy, and that's where we're going to play him. The thing that sticks out, he can legit run. You know, a guy that's playing safety that can move down into the box, He's a kid that has great instincts. He's an excellent tackler in space, very athletic, and you know he fits that bump 4-3 that we play with that outside linebacker sitting outside the box, having to be able to cover. Reminds me a lot of Bishop, you know, in that sense. You know, not the biggest kid in the world, but a great kid in the weight room, and you know, will do great things for us.
Looking up toward Nebraska now, in Omaha, Nebraska, Millard West, Jacob Hermdrick's 6'4", 220-pound tight end. Another one of these guys that are two-sport type of athletes. You talked a little bit about some players that are two-sport in wrestling, weightlifting, some basketball. Another guy that excels on the basketball floor
yeah,
as well.
Good basketball player, good athlete. Started two ways at Millard West High School, which isn't the norm. You're playing for Coach Peterson. Again, you're a good football player. Gosh, it seems like it's been a minute since we've had a Millard West kid. That's a, you know, that's Matt Longacre's school and Brandon Yost's school. And, you know, so we've had a good tradition over the years with Millard West. And so we're excited. You know, Giovanni Guido, we got in our program last year. And so we're excited to get another Millard West kid back here.
Looking over to Galesburg, Illinois for our next player, James Hayden at 6 feet, 2 inches, 180 pounds. And you guys picked this guy up for his foot.
Absolutely. Kicker and punter. So does both. Very good skill set. He's actually here. So he graduated at semester and enrolled in January. So he's with us here on campus going through workouts now. And that's, you know, that says a little bit about him. That's not easy to do because everybody else is already established. And so to come in mid-year like that, you know, took a lot of guts, and I've enjoyed getting to know him a little bit so far. And Joe Quinlan's been getting after him in the workouts. So he's doing good stuff so far.
When you talk about a football program that's had a lot of success through the years, here's another one at Webb City High School down in Webb City, Missouri, and Durand Henderson coming in, a running back, a 6 foot, 180-pounder.
Durand is a kid that I went and saw down in the spring, and he was a kid that I highlighted. And I told Coach Roderick I wanted a Webb City guy, and he came through for me. So he's a good back. He can do everything you want him to do. He can run the ball out of the backfield. He can catch it in space. He can make people miss. He's physical. He's bigger. He's a big, thick kid. You know, I think he has a chance to be very productive in his career.
Back over on the defensive side of the ball in the defensive backfield, a kid from St. Robert, Missouri, in Waynesville High School, Malik Hopper, 6 foot 1 inch, 190-pound defensive back,
safety, and knows Sam Roberts. Sam's from Waynesville High School, and kind of had a little bit of a relationship there. Got him up on campus, liked the way he looked, and it matched up with the film that we saw, and so we extended an offer, and Malik accepted.
Going back to Maryville High School, another spoofhound coming into the program, a 6 foot, 220-pound running back, and Tyler Halchin.
Tyler's a great athlete. Tyler's a fantastic, you know, the thing that strikes me with Tyler when I watch him, and I've had multiple opportunities over the years, is just his leadership. He's a fantastic leader. He's a kid that gets other people going in the right direction. I think he's a kid that understands what it takes. He's a coach's kid. You know, not to mention he's a darn good fullback, and that's what we're going to play him as. You know, not that he didn't play on both sides of the ball, but we see him as that C-back position guy. The guy, he does a nice job catching the ball out of the backfield. He will block. He is physical. He's a little bigger, and he can run with it a little bit too. So, you know, we've got kind of an all-around threat in Tyler.
Looking at Jefferson City and Helias High School, linebacker Colden Imhoff, a 5 foot 11 inch, 190 pounder, and this is a guy who looks like not only has had success in track and field, and obviously football, has had some in wrestling, but also holds leadership position. It looks like his FFA chapter president, mm-hmm. So holds leadership positions away from the athletic field as well.
Yeah, and he's a guy that we got on kind of late, but I'm definitely glad we did. Coach Floor went down there and visited those guys, and was really impressed when he walked away from him. He's kind of done it all, and Coach said he really liked the way he looked, and was impressed with him. Mom and Dad are both grads, you know, and you know, once a Bearcat, always a Bearcat. We always get excited about that. So, you know, and then I'm always partial to wrestlers. So, you know, he's a tough kid. He's put together. He plays linebacker, and so we're excited.
When you talk about being partial to wrestlers, what are some things that really stand out by recruiting a wrestler into a football program?
Well, on the defensive side in particular, defensive linemen, for me, it's leverage and hand fighting. It's understanding balance, leverage, and hand fighting, I think, are really important. The ability to take people off balance. The same for linebackers. I think it's important when they have to strike, how to get themselves off of blocks, how to get themselves from being squared up to off to one side, and those are all things that wrestlers do.
Up next, Rhett Jordan, a 5'10", 170-pounder out of Waverly, Nebraska. What stands out with Rhett Jordan?
Boy, he does a little bit of everything. Played quarterback for them. He's going to play defensive back for us. He's a really good baseball player, leader in everything that he did in high school. Just one of those small-town, really good all-around athletes.
You look to Seward, Nebraska at the quarterback position with our next athlete, Joseph Krause, 6'1", 185-pound quarterback.
Yeah, and Joe's a good football player. He has the Class B all-time state passing record, multiple sport athlete. You know, we recruited a kid a year ago, kind of in the same area that a school in Red ended up getting late, and Joe stayed with Northwest Missouri State, and we're really glad that he did. He had a lot of options at a lot of different levels. He's a kid that's been on campus a little bit. He's originally from Texas, so a little bit different in that sense. But we really like his moxie. He can spin it, and he can also run with the football. He's tough, and he's a leader. And so we're excited about Joe.
The next player up comes from an area that you've had a lot of success, I think, in the last few years here, looking toward Wisconsin, Sussex, Wisconsin, and Zach Lawrence, another tall guy, 6'6", 285 pounds, and an offensive lineman.
You know, I don't know what they put in the water up there, but people are just bigger. I mean, this is where we go to look for our size predominantly, you know, and Zach fits that bill. He's big, he's physical, he's got good feet, you know, comes from a very good football program. And somebody that we were, you know, he was an early commit. He was a guy that we got in December. And so we were fired up that, you know, a kid of that length committed to us that early.
Speaking of size, a defensive lineman out of Roseville, Illinois, Akira Lindsay, 6'3", 275-pounder out of Monmouth Roseville High School.
You know, I put Coach Floor in charge of kind of banging around those smaller schools in Illinois. When I was at St. Ambrose, we got a lot of mileage out of those schools, the Geneseos, the Metamoras, the, you know, those smaller, the Princetons, Pekin of the world, and Monmouth is one of those schools. And Coach went in there and plucked this kid, got him down on campus on an early visit. He had some traffic with the directional Illinois schools as well. You know, and I think he said, Coach, now can I go visit some of these? And I said, Bud, we're not going to have money for very long. And so he committed to Northwest Missouri State. He's got a big frame right now. We just have to chisel him up a little bit. You know, we have to, Coach Quinlan will take care of that. He's going to tighten him up. He's got the size and the weight right now. We just have to reproportion things a bit.
Another player coming from the region, Farragut, Iowa, in Sydney High School. Another guy with some size, Brady Larmore, 6'3", 285-pound offensive lineman.
Good frame, small school, multiple sport kid. You know, he played both sides of the football. He's going to be a guy that's got to develop technique and stuff, but like the frame, like the toughness, like the athleticism.
When you look at the running back spot with our next guy, another kid out of Gainesville, you talked about how you protected the backyard but still found a way to get some good Florida kids in here. But Ja'Kai Mitchum, he sticks out because it looks like he can have some explosive games but also has had a lot of recognition for his classroom work.
Yeah, you know, he was impressive when I sat down and visited with him. He was my second visit on the way to the Super Bowl. So I went from Jacksonville, flew into Jacksonville Thursday night, then down to see him on Friday before I took the trip up to Atlanta. And, you know, you walk in and you talk to his guidance counselors and you talk to his coach and you talk to his teachers, and you just get to start to see a piece of the picture of this kid and how he wants to be great. And, you know, got to meet his mom. She wasn't able to put up on the visit, so got to go down to Gainesville and meet her, and you get to see a little bit of the why. And she's pretty important to him, and he wants to make her proud. And he's a thick kid. His lower body's thick. Watch him a little bit on film. He can not only make you miss, he's physical as well. Kind of reminds me of LaRon.
So you look at the next one up, defensive back in Trevin Peak, a 6'2", 185-pounder out of Omaha, Nebraska, and Burke High School. And again, when you look at that defensive back position, you've had through the years a number of D-backs that have also been successful in track and field. This is another guy that can run a little bit in track.
Yeah, he can run. You know, he's on that 4x400 track team that won the state. You know, he was a state champion in football. Kind of a late bloomer. Didn't start till his senior year. So again, this is a kid that didn't have as much tape, but had some really productive tape late, and so we took a shot on him playing in the River Battle Bowl, I guess I should say. And he's a kid that I think has a lot of upside. And if you know anything about us over the years, that's kind of what we're looking for. We're not looking for people that are peaked at 18. We're looking for people that are going to peak at 22.
We've talked some about length here, and our next athlete, a defensive end at 6'5", 235 pounds, out of Wichita, Kansas, Keaton Ricky?
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
You've got it.
Okay.
Catholic League, Catholic school kid, plays hard. Okay, so he plays like Matt Longacre plays. When I watched him on film, that was the thing. It's not that he reminded, that he reminded me of Matt necessarily, but he plays with that edge. He plays with that tenacity. He finishes everything he does. He just has a great motor. And I can teach a lot of technique on the defensive line. I can't teach 6'5", and I can't teach a motor.
Back to the Kansas City area and Liberty High School, Alex Roush, 6 foot, 170-pound quarterback, Conference Offensive Player of the Year, also a 4.0 GPA. Just kind of talk a little bit now about Alex Roush.
Alex is a winner. You know, the thing that kept coming back to me about him is that everybody that we talked to in Kansas City, brought me back to this kid. And just, you know, wasn't the biggest guy, wasn't the fastest guy, but everything he did well. Sat down with Coach Fregon. He talked about the way that, Alex would read coverages and dissect teams and did a lot of it on his own. Just liked a lot of the leadership pieces that he brought to the table and intangibles. Good basketball player as well, and has ties to Maryville. So, we felt like this one was a no-brainer for us.
We talked just a few minutes ago about a quarterback out of Seward, Nebraska, and now you've got one of the guys that played in front of him at Seward High School, a 6 foot, 275 offensive lineman, Patrick Chabon.
Yep, inside player, was a kid that we had here at camp. You know, a little bit short, but like his toughness, and feel like he's going to make up for that with his tenacity and his mean streak. He's got a lot of good accolades. Loved having his family here. You know, just was a fit for us.
So you look at the other end of the state again, Blackjack, Missouri, Hazelwood Central High School is where Jordan Tate comes from, a 6'3", defensive back, 185 pounds. And what stands out with Jordan Tate?
Boy, if I get him to fill out, he's going to be a pretty-looking dude. He's all of 6'3". He's really long. Great receiver, fantastic ball skills. We're going to play him on defense, probably at safety. He can do a little bit of everything. He was a kid that I gravitated towards on his visit. I just kind of liked his body language and his demeanor and the way he was. And I was more impressed with him after the visit than I was before. So, and I definitely liked him before. So we're excited to get a kid from Hazelwood Central back over in Maryville.
Next up is Isaac Telfer, a 6 foot, 1 inch, 190-pound linebacker out of Prairie City, Iowa. Won a state title last year, but the thing that obviously sticks out is the whole family aspect as – he played for former Bearcat Greg Bonnet.
And Greg, I think helped us a little bit in this one. You know, this kid's a good football player, and I think Coach Bonnet kept saying, you gotta go down and visit Maryville. You gotta get down and visit Maryville. And Greg's done a great job building that program and that culture. And Isaac fits in, a lot of the things that Greg has installed there are obviously things that are important to us. And Isaac embodies that. And so we're excited to get Isaac.
Up next, Joseph Webb, a 6 foot, 175-pound wide receiver out of the Kansas City area, Park Hill High School, and again playing with the former head coach or former Bearcat there.
Yeah, Coach Hood, and we've had several of his guys over the years, and he's a big Bearcat supporter. Comes up to our camp every year, which allows us to get a look at Park Hill kids. And Joe was a kid that's a football track guy, done a lot of things, had some injuries, had some hamstring problems, and I felt like that hurt his recruiting a little bit because otherwise, as a junior, he was extremely productive. Went through a little bit of a hiccup offensively this year. I don't think they didn't have the same trigger guy playing quarterback for him this year as they had his junior year, but he's a guy that we're expecting big things from.
You guys have had some success pulling athletes from Lawson High School, and another one on this list, Coleman Weber, a 6'2", 220-pound defensive end.
Yeah, and, you know, we really took him. We just said this is a frame. And we've had, you know, you nailed it on the head. We've had some pretty darn good kids from Lawson, and so we thought we would take a chance and take his frame and see what we could make him into. Right now it's going to start as the defensive line, but we really don't know. Could end up tight end, could end up offensive line. It's just going to kind of let him see where his body takes him.
How much of a factor when you recruit some athletes coming in, do you factor in from the program they're coming from? You've had kids in the past that have come through that same program. How much does that really mean to you as you –
Oh, it's definitely big. We try and, you know, just the relationships that we have with coaches, and you start to understand. If you know the coach, you kind of understand the culture of the program. You understand what they're all about, and you kind of get a sense for what type of kid you're going to get, and that allows you to hedge your bets a lot better.
You talked about trying to get more out of it. Illinois, here's another one of those coming in. Jake Winslow, a 6'4", 281-pound offensive lineman from Kelowna, Illinois.
Yeah. You know, and it's Geneseo has a very good reputation, phenomenal high school program, ton of success. They were right across the river from me when I lived in the Quad Cities, so I knew all about their program. And, you know, it's where Colin DeBicer was from. I don't know if any Bearcats remember that, but I recruited him out of Geneseo several years ago. And Jake is a big physical kid, a kid that started out as a tight end, so he's got some athleticism, good baseball player as well, but has kicked himself down to tackle and started to embrace that role. And I think he's got good upside for us.
Next one, looking down in the southwest Missouri, the Joplin area, Jaden Withrow, a 6-foot, 230-pound offensive lineman that, again, looks like he's been able to be successful in multi-sports as well as the classroom.
Yeah, you know, and this is one of those that, you know, I've developed a pretty good relationship with Coach Jasper over the years, and he called me up and said, Coach, I think this is a kid you need to take a chance on. And so we did. You know, he's a wrestler, tough kid. He's a guy that has done a lot of things for them. He felt like all the intangible pieces were there. And as far as playing center, he felt like he could do it at this level. And you know, Coach Jasper also happened to give us Bryce Inyard. And so, you know, once if you give me people like that, then I'm usually going to trust your judgment on things. And he just had a lot of good things to say about Jaden. And so we took a shot.
Looking at Westside High School in Omaha, Nebraska now, and Lauren Wyota, 6'1", 201-pound, the long snapper coming into your program.
Yeah, and that's really what he does. He played a little bit of D-line and offensive line in high school, but he's a snapper for us. That's what we recruited him to be. The thing that impressed me about him is he went out for wrestling this year for the first time ever, and he's wrestling 220 in the state of Nebraska, which is not an easy thing to do. So I like his toughness.
Next up, you look at Lathrop High School, Justin Wright, a 5'11", 210-pound tight end, kind of H-back area, but comes from a head coach in Chris Holt that kind of knows the area, knows the Bearcat program and what the Bearcat way is about.
You hit it on the head. He understands the ties. This kid is a really good wrestler. This kid is a guy that understands success. I'm going to play that C-back position for us, regardless of how that's listed. That's kind of what he's going to be, is that fullback type of position for us. Related to the Grays in town, there were just a lot of dots that got connected, and so we pulled the trigger on Justin.
Well, that concludes the high school national letters of intent that have been signed here. You look at some transfers you're bringing in, I believe, what, 7 transfers into your program?
We did.
And a lot of those look like at the wide receiver spot, bringing in some guys that look good at the wide receiver spot. And first one up's Nick Clark, a 6'2", 180-pound wide receiver out of Noonan, Georgia, and Reedley Community College.
Yeah, we picked up Nick at semester. He was he played in the Southwest All-Star game. He was their best receiver out at Reedley. Give you a blast from the past. Last Reedley kid we had, I just brought back as a graduate assistant by the name of Roberto Davis, was an old Reedley kid. But Nick did some really good things on tape. He's smooth. He can separate. He's got length to him. He's all of 6'2". And we needed that. You know, that was something that we, when we looked and we self-assessed at the end of the season, we felt like we had to get longer at receiver.
When you look also at receiver, Caden Davis out of Butler Community College from Ellsworth, Kansas originally, 6'1", 190. What stuck out about Caden to you?
Really liked when I got to meet his family. His dad was on the visit. His dad is an AD. They're from a small town in Kansas. He was a state champ in the 100 meter, ran 10.6 in the 100. Extremely productive, you know, at Butler Community College. Coach Schaffner out there is a former Bearcat, you know, somebody that has produced a steady stream of very good junior college football players, and Caden, you know, really kind of fit us, and so we're excited about him.
Imani Donadell's up next, to 5'11", 185-pound wide receiver out of Youngstown, Ohio, a place known for some pretty good football, and a transfer in from West Hills Community College.
This guy is dynamic. He can go. He's fast. He is, you know, so some guys you write down and it says 5'11". He is every inch of 5'11". And so I was surprised to see that, you know, because that's what that they list them as that, and a lot of times they'll show up and be 5'8". You know, he's all of 5'11", he's all of 185. I've watched him do some things on a basketball court that I'm like, holy cow. But if you start to watch his highlight film, you'll know what I'm talking about. This kid can play. We're excited to see what he can do in the spring. You know, the next big test for us is going to be how these guys gravitate towards our system and how quickly they immerse themselves.
A guy out of Gothenburg, Nebraska, Dawson Graham, 6 feet, 2 inches, 190 pounds, a wide receiver, coming in from East Mississippi Community College, which maybe some people think, oh, last chance you,
right.
But didn't come from East Mississippi Community College as a football player.
No, sir, he did not. Came as a basketball player and decided that he wanted to get back into football. This is a guy that when he came onto campus, we tested. It's one of those things that's kind of weird. Okay, what are we going to do? We watched him run around. We watched him do some skills and drill stuff with our quarterbacks, and it was like, holy cow, we might have caught something here. And did some background check, talked about to some people back home just about what kind of football player he was, and he's got a skill set to him. So we'll find out what he can do in the spring.
Bailey Pickering, a 6'2", 210-pound long snapper out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Another long snapper you're bringing in. He comes from Fort Scott Community College. And what does he bring to your program?
You know, just felt like with the graduation of Sorf and then with Andy having a shoulder problem last year that we needed an immediate fix, and Bailey can do that. If you watch this film, he's a legit Division I long snapper and had, you know, several walk-on opportunities to go to Division I, but we were able to get him at our place.
Next guy up, Justin Rankin, a 5'10", 215-pound running back out of Oberlin, Ohio, transferring from Kent State University. It looked like he was getting some playing time there at Kent State. What attracted him here to Northwest?
Well, I think that they had a change at Kent and a little bit of change of philosophy, and I think that I don't think he was happy. Well, he was not happy with his playing time last year, and so decided he had 1 year left and wanted to explore other options. And, you know, I know Coach O'Boyle, the former head football coach at Chatterton State, is the offensive line coach there, and did some talking with him. And Coach Cunningham knows a couple guys on staff. And they said that when this guy was – had they did not want him to leave Kent State. They were trying to mend the fences, and I think Justin felt like things had kind of run their course. So – Justin's a talented football player. Justin will help our football team. He's a good football player. We're excited.
Another player coming in from Division I Illinois State, Zach Starforth, an offensive lineman out of Peculiar, Missouri, a 6'5", 300-pounder there, and another guy that's played his high school ball under a former Bearcat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these are fun. Okay, so I'm gonna like to tell you what a phenomenal recruiter I am, but here's how this one went. Coach Cruz texts me and says, Coach, would you be interested in a 6'5 to 6'6, 300-pound offensive tackle from Division I? Yes. So, you know, he told me a little bit about his situation. We got him down on a visit, and the rest, as they say, is history. You know, Zach's a great kid. I've really enjoyed getting him onto our campus. For whatever reason, Illinois State wasn't a fit for him. He's really gravitated towards our kids. He's fitting in very well. He's got great feet. You know, when I watched him on film, that was the thing that stuck out to me, is just how good his feet were. You could see why he was a Division I kid coming out of high school. He was a kid I tried to recruit out of high school, but he just had so many offers that he was going to go away from home. But, you know, kind of told me that in the recruiting process, and when he was going to decide to come back this way, that there was no place else he wanted to play other than Northwest. And that's all I had to hear to try and make that happen.
When you look at this signing class, especially let's look specifically at the high school signees, and just talk about now that they're on board, they're Bearcats, mm-hmm. they're ready to wear the green and white. What's the process with these signees? Obviously, you guys redshirt as many as you possibly can,
right,
to work with them and that sort of thing. Just talk about their process from today moving forward to get them ready to be on the field someday as a Bearcat.
Sure. The first thing we try and tell them to do is, I don't think that you can say that you want multi-sport athletes and then all of a sudden say, well, here's our workout, the heck with what's going on in the spring, you need to start getting ready to play football. So what we tell them all to do is go compete. You know, whatever sport you're in, whatever you're involved in, yeah, you can do our workouts. Yeah, you can start to get, you know, immersed in what we're doing. But take care of high school. Finish that page first, because you don't get that time back, you know. And so go through and enjoy the things that you need to enjoy for high school. And when you finish your spring sports, then we're going to turn the page, and then we're going to get a little more ready to jump in this thing as far as football is concerned. Something we've done unique to this last year's recruiting class, and I felt like it paid dividends. We gave our freshmen the option to come in July. So much of a freshman anymore, guys are more physically ready to play early, and you're seeing that at all levels. You're seeing that at the Division I level all the way down to the Division III level. And so most of the time, the reason why a guy can't play is a language barrier problem and an understanding. So when guys come in, it's literally like getting dropped off in a different country. The way you've said things for your entire life is not how we talk. Our verbiage, our technique, all that stuff has to be learned, and there's such a big difference between, yeah, you and I are sitting in this room and I'm explaining this to you, oh, I get it, and then having to go out on a field and execute it. By bringing those guys in July, they had 3 weeks to kind of work towards that end. So when fall camp started, they weren't true freshmen the way that we normally think a true freshman. And it gave them a bit of a leg up. There's no way Zach Howard plays here last year if he doesn't do that. There's no way LaTroy Harper plays here if he doesn't do that. And so that's something that we've done a little different. Now, we don't require those kids to do that. Most of our kids will still redshirt, and that's still the best path for them. But it does allow them to get a better sense of who we are and what we're doing.
You've had so much success through the years with the players currently in the program staying through the summertime and working out and doing things at that point. By bringing in these freshmen in July, do they get a chance to maybe get acclimated with some of the current players as well?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that helped us is we brought them in as a group. You know, so we had done it one or two in the past, and again, just almost like our kicker, and I was a little apprehensive about that. When you have people that are already established, sometimes it's hard for the one guy to come in and fit into people that are already kind of going in a direction. It's easier when they can kind of form their own subgroup, stay together, they're all in the dorm, and work their way through those last 3 weeks.
When you talk about there might be some of these players that do have to wait to come in, and then obviously even the ones that do come in that early before July, do they get like a suggested workout from Joe? You know, every position is different. You know, not every athlete needs the same workout, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's until Joe gets them here, it's a more generic workout, just because we don't know what they know. We don't know what kind of technique they have. Joe's really very, very aware of not wanting to put athletes in bad situations until he's been able to ascertain their level of lifting knowledge. And so until we get to see that live, we're pretty generic with our workouts. Once they get here, then we jump in.
How much do you talk with Joe during the recruiting process when you're looking at a kid? Do you talk to him a little bit about what he might be able to do with this kid from a physical standpoint?
One of the things that we do, okay, so this last year, and it was very helpful for me as a head coach, we sat down with the entire football staff, the training staff and the strength staff and went through every kid in our program and where we saw them. You know, and I thought that was beneficial for me because sometimes I know what I think. I don't know what the offense thinks. I don't know what Liz down in the training room thinks. I don't know what Joe sees from his lens. And so we took notes on every kid in our current program, and I sat down with the entire team individually and kind of went through that and told them that the direction we were going to go in recruiting and what we felt like our needs were. I felt like that helped us to identify those better. The second thing it allowed us to do is when we brought kids on campus, yes. So Liz spends some time with them and goes through their injury list. What are the things that they had wrong in high school? What are restrictions might they have? Do they have a shoulder issue? Do they have a knee issue? How about their ankles? Joe is going to take them through not testing in terms of a 40 time or a pro agility, but functional movement testing. Meaning, you know, can they bend at the hips? How flexible are they? What functional things does he see that could potentially be red flags? And then we look at their frames and we look at, okay, how big can you get this kid? So one of the things that I'm looking for right now is length on the defensive line is great. I want kids that can get big and get physical. Okay. When we were our best here, you had kids like Brandon Yost, Colin Bevins, Cass Weidel. Brandon was, but, you know, Cass Weidel wasn't 275 pounds when he walked in the door, but we could get him there. You know, Bobby Grunlow was another one that was not 275 pounds. Mike Elke is 265 right now. Mike Elke, I think, weighed 220 when he got here. You know, so those are things that we've got to grow to. And so I talked to Joe, is this a frame that we can get to that size? How long is it going to take me to get it to that size? Because in the region that we're playing in right now, guys, we've got to get bigger. Because if we're going to get out of the region and play for a national championship, we've got to be able to go win on the offensive and defensive line up there in the north where there's some big teams.
When we talk to track and field, baseball and softball, they're all very excited about that Hughes Fieldhouse over there because they can feel like they're outside practicing when there's still snow on the ground. But for you guys, with it being completed and this being the first time you've recruited with a completed facility, what role did that facility play for you guys?
Oh, it's impressive. I think any time that you have new construction going on your campus, that it's exciting. And it shows stability. It shows growth. It shows a progressive mindset. And something like that that not everybody has is something that obviously helps in recruiting. You know, you walk in and you see the field and obviously you understand that football had a big role in helping to see that thing come to fruition. The meeting room has been huge up there for us. We've never had a team meeting room. So to have the ability to sit down in a theater style room and be able to talk and have meetings and do those types of things has been instrumental. And so it all just lends to helping our program take the next step forward. Our guys have been working out in there, doing voluntary workouts on their own, running routes, doing stuff like that. I mean, for whatever reason, you know, often, you know, we don't have that much snow on our field. This winter we've had quite a bit of snow on the field, so they've been up there taking advantage of the indoor facility. So it's been great.
I'd imagine, too, having it as a finished product now makes a huge difference when you bring in the recruits as opposed to maybe just being able to show the plans and things, and maybe it's the construction progress has gone the last couple of years, but have that as a finished product, I would imagine, is very huge for you.
Oh, now, no doubt. And well, see, the thing that I don't think a lot of people realize is because of the track that's around it, it's a big building. You know, because I've been in Lincoln's. I've been in, you know, you get onto Western. Western has a nice facility, but as far as the footprint of that thing, you know, the first thing people, you know, because I've had people from Nebraska, people from KU, people from K-State, Mizzou, they walk into that place and they're like, holy cow, this is enormous. And it is. It's impressive when you walk in.
Now, we're talking about the Hughes Fieldhouse. We've talked about some different tools. Does each, when you look at student athletes that you're recruiting, does each one kind of garner a different approach, a different use of the different tools? Or are there some tools that you guys have that you use with everybody and then you just maybe have to tweak some different things based upon, you know, their background?
You know, Matt, that's a really great question. And I would tell you that there are certain things that we're going to make you know, no matter what. Certain things that we're going to highlight about Northwest Missouri State or accentuate about Northwest Missouri State. But just like I think what makes us effective as coaches is also what makes us effective as recruiters, and I think what you need to do is listen. You know, what are the things that are important to you about making your college decision? Because the difference between what's going to be important to you and what might be important to John, you know, there can be a wide discrepancy there. And so what we try to do is highlight or accentuate the things that are important to you on your visit so that when you walk off our campus one way or the other, you know, hey, I got these boxes checked. This is what we want to do. The other thing I think we try not to do is we try not to be salesmen. You know, we want people that want to be at Northwest Missouri State. And we're going to obviously show you the great things about our program, but this isn't for everybody, you know, and the expectations and the level of what we want are unique. At least that's how we feel. And so we don't make any bones about that. And so I try and scare people. You know, I'm going to tell you that you're going to be up for Winter Wonderland at 5:30 in the morning, and it's going to be hard. And, you know, you're going to run the hill in the summer and out at the dam, and it's going to be hard. And not everybody gets to play, and that's going to be hard. And there's lots of adjustments. And so we just try and be real with people. We try and, if there's one message that we're going to get across, that this is a family, that we're going to take care of you, and that we're going to help you graduate. And those are the things that we feel like are really important. You're going to get a great football experience at Northwest Missouri State. But we're going to care about the person and who that guy is. And we're going to get a chance to know you and know your family. And more importantly, you're going to get a chance to know us and ours.
When you look at this year's recruiting class, if you sum up this year's recruiting class, what's the one thing that really sticks out to you with this group?
I think we got a lot of length. You know, I think we've got longer people. People that joke and develop and grow, I think that's good. We've got kids that can run at this time in college football. I think that's paramount. And then I felt like we did a good job of getting our kind of program kids. One of the things that I think sometimes people miss on, and I've done it myself over 20-something years of coaching college football, is you get so enamored in the athlete. How long does that athlete stay? Because they're not going to pay dividends for you most of the time until year three, year four, year five. And so you've got a guy, that's part of the reason why we find the good academic kid, because he's got to be able to make it through to see himself get on the field. That's why we find the kid that's highly intrinsically motivated, because let's face it, right now in our culture, we're at a crossroads where there's a lot of instant gratification going on. And if I don't get what I want right now, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Well, you're not going to have immediate success here. You know, it takes time. You're going to have to invest. And so all those things kind of help us in that process.
Now that football Christmas is kind of here, all the gifts are opened and that sort of thing, what's up next for the coaching staff?
We're going to take a couple days and you know, just try and decompress, take a look at how we're doing things, how we went through the recruiting process. We actually began that yesterday. What we're going to do differently next year, we're going to have a couple more early visits. You know, that's something that we're having to fend off from the schools in the north in particular. Probably going to offer a little bit earlier, going to change the way we do visits. We may have an official visit during our season, which we've never done. That's normal for a Division I school. That's not normal for us. We may work towards that a little bit. But just assess the various things about recruiting, what we felt like we did well, what we have to improve, and what we want to do moving forward. And then we start honestly taking a look at cut-ups, figuring out where we want to go, who we want to go visit with, and what we think we have to improve on each side. Try and spend some time with our kids down in the weight room. Start to do our skill and drill segments. We have Winter Wonderland starting up here next week, next Tuesday, I believe, kicks that off. So hopefully it's nice and cold. And then, you know, we get to Joe's still going with them in the weight room, but get, you know, towards the middle of March, and we'll kick off spring practice.
Yeah, that's just right around the corner, isn't it?
Absolutely. It doesn't take long. You know, you kind of just put you wear different hats. So we're going to put our recruiting hat away, and it's time to jump into the next phase.
Well, Rich, as always, it's been a quick, fast-paced hour here going over these recruits, and we really appreciate your time every year to go through this and let our listeners know who's coming into the Bearcat football program.
Absolutely. Hopefully you guys get on Twitter and take a look at these guys on their Huddle accounts, and you can see what kind of players we signed and get a little bit of a glimpse into what the future of Bearcat football holds.
All right, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Again, that is head football coach at Northwest Missouri State, Rich Wright. Again, today is the National Signing Day for college football. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later tonight, we've got the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. It's coming your way live tonight from Carson Sports Grill beginning at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, tomorrow is Bearcat basketball from St. Charles as Northwest faces Lindenwood in a men's-women's doubleheader. 5:10 pregame for the women, 5:30 tip-off there, and the men will tip off right around 7:30. For Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and so long from the athletic department at Northwest Missouri State University.